Professor Michael George Baker is an epidemiologist well known to us too, because Michael was very prominent through the couple of years where COVID really had us in its grip. It's not as if that grip has ceased either, and really great to have Professor Michael Baker with us. He's in Oslo. We'll find out why in a minute. He says that the fourth wave of COVID-19 is here, and Michael is a representative of the Department of Public Health at Otago University. Thank you for joining us, Michael. It's a pleasure to have you on our program. My name's Dale, and I thank you for joining us from the other side of the world. A warm welcome. Tēnā koe.
Morena, Dale.
Hey, it's great to talk with you. Look, firstly, thanks for all the mahi that you did through COVID. It was a real challenge for our nation, but we needed expertise of the like you shared during that time. And I think as a people, we can be justifiably proud of the way we reacted when given the opportunity to connect up and to encourage our people to get vaccinated. But the threat of COVID looms still across our nation with the fourth wave here. What is that fourth wave? What are we referring to here, Michael?
Well, as we know, this virus doesn't stand still, and it has come as a series of waves once it became widely distributed last year. You know, New Zealand, of course, kept the virus largely out for 2 years, which produced very good outcomes, and I think that's a real tribute to our government and leadership and all the people in New Zealand who contributed to that. But then, of course, we had Omicron circulating very widely last year, and it came as three big waves. And the waves got smaller during the year, but they still resulted in more than 20,000 people going to hospital and, unfortunately, over 2,000 people dying last year. This year, the virus, of course, is still with us, and we're seeing these waves continue. And at the moment, we're seeing a small wave, that's a rise of cases. And I think this is the pattern we're going to see in the future. It's not going to be a plateau. We're going to see rises and falls. And what we're seeing, we know it's a wave at the moment because we've seen, for instance, the number of cases reported every day rising. But I think one of the best indications is just the number of people hospitalized has doubled over the last 7 weeks or so. And we've got another form of surveillance which is quite different, and that's the wastewater testing. And that's also showing a very big rise in the number of the virus particles that are being identified in sewage. And that's one of the quite innovative ways of tracking what the virus is doing. So it just sends a message to us that there's more of it about, and I think it's a reminder it hasn't gone away. It's not an emergency response now, of course, but it is another thing that we need to be conscious of.
Should we be preparing for the fifth, sixth, seventh wave? I mean, will we ever be able to rid our land of COVID, or do you think it is here to stay?
Well, unfortunately, it is here to stay for the foreseeable future. And the reason is that the vaccine is good. It does reduce your risk of serious outcomes and makes a huge difference. But it isn't able to stop transmission of the virus. And we learnt that quite early on because the trials of the vaccine were all about whether it protected people from serious illness and death. And it was good at that, but it doesn't stop transmission. So what the hopefully the dream vaccine in the future will stop transmission, and then it could be like measles, where if you're vaccinated, you're protected for life, you don't get measles, and it interrupts transmission. This vaccine doesn't do that, but hopefully future versions will. So what we're the business now is trying to minimize the harm that it causes. And the main way, of course, is still getting vaccinated and boosted. And this year, of course, we've got access to the new bivalent vaccine. And the big advance there is it contains a second component, which is specific to Omicron. So the dominant variety of the virus, which we saw last year and this year, is now covered by this vaccine. So I think that's the priority for everyone, is to make sure they've got that booster. And the other thing is you can get it at the same time as your flu vaccine. So that's, again, a double benefit for people coming into winter in particular.
Michael, while plenty of people applauded your contribution, myself included, during the heady times of the COVID threat, now that it has lessened, I guess some are painting pictures of epidemiologists like yourself being maybe overstating the threat, or that you were fearmongers to general society. And then we've got this issue of what was and perhaps still exists, a Māori hesitancy about what the vaccine contains. So that brings into question the issue of genetics or economic factors being more important here in a Māori response to the COVID risk. And even though we're in the fourth wave, what might you say of some of those dynamics you witnessed? There's one about senior and prominent epidemiologists during the main gist of the struggle against COVID. What did you read into Māori responses, Michael?
Well, I thought Māori responded very vigorously, and I know some of the Marae-led responses by places such as Kokiri Marae were really outstanding, and it just did show that amazing mobilisation and Māori really, you know, taking control of this threat. So I think it was very impressive. But at the same time, what we're also seeing is a new problem, and that is very organised disinformation. A lot of it's generated overseas. I think there are actually some quite organised international actors, if you like, that are not generating this information to benefit us, people in New Zealand. It's basically deliberately designed to cause harm and disruption across the globe. And I think that is a really new threat that we have to manage. And a lot of it is about education and also, I guess, hopefully what we call science literacy, that is making all of us, you know, quite critical of the information given and not just accepting some of the quite outrageous ideas that are coming in about vaccines. And we know that the vaccines are all trialled very thoroughly, and also we have what's called post-marketing surveillance. So after vaccines are introduced, a lot of effort's put into identifying adverse events to see if they're important. And we do know that all vaccines have some side effects, so it's always the balance. But the balance is that COVID-19 infection is far worse than any adverse effects from the vaccine. And I think that is what the evidence is telling us. But unfortunately, if you looked at some of the disinformation, it makes quite outrageous claims and that I think are just not backed up by good science.
The history of the government of New Zealand alienating Māori from our taonga, I'm talking land loss, reo, etc., poor stats, health, education, I could go on. That's also, we're looking for a trusted voice, and while you're touching on the misinformation, many people still don't trust the government, don't trust the laboratories in Europe that are putting together the vaccination, and I wonder what you might think of what seemingly is a hesitancy that lingers still, because we've got flu jabs that people aren't accessing at the moment, Michael. I just wonder whether there's still a sort of a vaxxed out lot who are turning their back on the opportunity to protect in that way. What are some of the dynamics you've witnessed?
Yeah, look, I think that's an issue. And I just look at the epidemiology, and basically it's saying at the moment the infectious disease in New Zealand that's going to kill most New Zealanders this year is COVID-19, unfortunately. At the moment, we're on track for up to 1,000 people dying this year from the infection, more than 10,000 going to hospital. Second is influenza. It's always been our number one infectious disease killer, around 500 deaths every year, and perhaps around 3,000 people hospitalised every year. It's done that for many decades, so it's not a new threat. But I think where the government now is offering, and it's no charge for vulnerable groups to get both these vaccines, and that greatly reduces your risks of both death and hospitalisation. So I think that is an opportunity for all New Zealanders to take, and that's very important. Beyond that, I think there are still other measures that are helpful, and one of the things we've learned is that if you have a respiratory illness, and most of us get these from time to time, particularly in winter, you really should stay home and not infect other family members, not go to work or school or social events and infect people around you. And I think that's what we've learned from COVID-19, and I'm hoping that people will take that lesson forward, because we have had that tradition of, soldiering on and being quite tough, quite about infections, but it hurts us and it also hurts the people around us. So I think that's hopefully a new form of consciousness that we've all got about caring for those around us.
And it's been a pleasure having a cordial with you, Michael. I know you're in Oslo. What takes you there, Ewa?
Oh, well, look, I'm having research and study leave, and people in universities get some time every few years to go off and visit colleagues overseas and just find out what's happening in the rest of the world. And, I mean, it is a great opportunity. I'm with a group in Oslo which has got people from all around the world who are looking at pandemic diseases and what we can learn from history. And one of their big interests, of course, is some of the issues for Indigenous people. And one of the interests is for here in Norway is for the health of Sami people, who have generally also been alienated from their land and have suffered quite badly from introduced diseases. But I think this is an area where New Zealand, I think, has a lot of good lessons. It can teach the rest of the world about, I think, the real renaissance of Maori leadership in New Zealand. I think it is a lesson for the rest of the world in health advancement and trying to deal with these inequities. I mean, New Zealand is far from perfect, as we know, but it is, I think, still, and I think there's huge interest in what New Zealand's doing in these areas. So that's one of the things that I'm discussing with colleagues here.
I appreciate your cordial, Michael, and all the efforts you put together too during the COVID situation of 2 years ago. But the reason we're talking with epidemiologist Michael Baker is because it still lingers. The fourth wave is here. Be very mindful of that, please. Thank you, Michael. Thanks for sharing some cordial with us today.
Yeah, thanks, Daniel. Great to talk.
Tēnā koe. All the best to you, man. That's Professor Michael Baker.